Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. But are your bills accurate? Well, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help you. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. So to save, visit HealthLock.com today. That's HealthLock.com today.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
It's never been more important to diversify your financial portfolio.
Well, that's right. The S&P is down 20% from the last year, and this year looks even worse.
Gold and precious metals offer a hedge against inflation and stock market volatility. And Legacy Precious Metals is the company Ken and I trust.
Protect your retirement account by rolling it into a gold-backed IRA or have metals shipped directly to your door.
Call our friends at Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or visit buylegacygold.com.
Life is uncertain. It's okay to feel stressed, anxious, worried, or frustrated. CalHope can help. Access CalHope's free and secure mental health resources. Call 833-317-4673 or live chat at calhope.org.
AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. It's Jane Wells in for John and Ken. And yeah, we're doing a lot of that today. Of course, the people of Britain haven't heard God Save the King in 70 years, but they are hearing it again today with the passing of Queen Elizabeth II, and her son, now King Charles III, has taken the crown, although the coronation, we'll find out when we talk to Tom Rivers shortly, is perhaps months away. King Charles III released a statement. I bet he thought he'd never get to be called king, saying, "The death of my beloved mother, Her Majesty the Queen, is a moment of the greatest sadness for me and all members of my family. We mourn profoundly the passing of a cherished sovereign and a much loved mother. She ruled for 70 years. She was 96 years old. And she had just, her last appearance of sorts was to meet the new Prime Minister, Liz, another Elizabeth, Liz Truss, 2 days ago. She is the longest-serving monarch in British history. Charles becomes the 41st monarch in what is almost 1,000 years old. In 2066, it will be 1,000 years old, and no kingdom can say that. But Liz Truss spoke at 10 Downing Street earlier today, and here's some of what she had to say.
"We are all devastated by the news that we have just heard from Balmoral. The death of Her Majesty the Queen is a huge shock to the nation and to the world. Queen Elizabeth II was the rock on which modern Britain was built. Our country has grown and flourished under her reign. Britain is the great country it is today because of her. She ascended the throne just after the Second World War. She championed the development of the Commonwealth from a small group of seven countries to a family of 56 nations spanning every continent of the world. We are now a modern, thriving, dynamic nation. Through thick and thin, Queen Elizabeth II provided us with the stability and the strength that we needed. She was the very spirit of Great Britain, and that spirit will endure. She has been our longest ever reigning monarch. It's an extraordinary achievement to have presided with such dignity and grace for 70 years. It is a day of great loss, but Queen Elizabeth II leaves a great legacy. Today, the crown passes, as it has done for more than 1,000 years, to our new monarch, our new head of state, His Majesty King Charles III. With the King's family, we mourn the loss of his mother. And as we mourn, we must come together as a people to support him, to help him bear the awesome responsibility that he now carries for us all. We offer him our loyalty and devotion, just as his mother devoted so much to so many for so long. And with the passing of the second Elizabethan age, we usher in a new era in the magnificent history of our great country, exactly as Her Majesty would have wished, by saying the words, "God save the King."
And there it is, God save the King. Again, Tom Rivers, ABC News, joins us from London right now. It's after 10 o'clock at night there. I'm sure it's still wall-to-wall coverage. What is the mood, Tom?
Yeah, pretty somber. Maybe a few hundred people now still lingering outside of Buckingham Palace. Typical London night here. Foggy night in London town. Light rain coming down. People are congregating as well outside of Windsor Castle. A few hundred as well, putting flowers down by the gates. I guess we're going to be seeing that, I guess, for the next coming 11, 12 days. As the very, very elaborate, fine, detailed, if you will, events are unfolding. It looks like now that the Queen will lie in state for a short period of time at St. Giles Cathedral in Edinburgh. Then she'll be transported down to London, and eventually be lie in state at Westminster Hall for a number of days where people can come through and review. And then the funeral we expect out of Windsor. So, yes, it's going to be a busy few days here in London and, you know, very, very different context. But we've been through this with Diana. So guess what? It's going to be a long period of time now dealing with the proceedings, and then looking forward to the reign of King Charles III. Now, you could have changed the name to anything, fill in the blank, but Charles has decided, nope, I'm sticking with what I got. So 73 years of age, the oldest heir to the throne to assume the throne. So, yes, another piece of history.
Well, so he's keeping his name just as his mother chose to keep her name. When is the coronation? Do we have any idea? Obviously, you think they had been planning this for some time.
I've been planning for a long, long time. It could be as short as, who knows, fill in the blank, a couple of months maybe. In the case of Elizabeth, she was so young, she was 25. They figured that they had to, if you will, educate her a little bit into the system. So hers was many months later. So you can do them whenever you want. But in essence, at the moment the Queen was pronounced dead, at that moment Charles became king. And there's other procedural things. Parliament will have a special session to pledge allegiance and pledge their support to the new king, et cetera, et cetera. But yes, it's going to be fascinating and very ceremonial, as I say, for the next couple of weeks.
You know, it's astounding for an institution that really has almost, you know, no political power now and has watched an empire collapse to still hold the world, so much of the world, in thrall. Look, you've lived there a long time. How do you feel?
I just want to tell my wife about that. You know, she's been on the throne for 70 years. I've been a reporter here for half of that, and she's always been there. You know, she's like the furniture. It's like, call the palace. See, it's going to feel weird now with somebody else taking over the team. So, it just feels unusual, feels funny. So much when these kinds of people at this level pass, they touch so many things in their lives, leaders, summits, wars, financial depressions, recessions, you name it. And it's the stuff that you and I have experienced in our own personal life. So when somebody of her stature dies, it's almost like holding up a mirror to yourself and going, yeah, I remember that. I remember that. And that's kind of what this country's going through right now.
Yeah. Tom Rivers, ABC News. Tom, thanks for updating us. I'm getting choked up talking about
Alrighty.
It. Thank you.
I know. Take care.
Take care. She was 70 years. If you think about a kingdom going back to William the Conqueror in 1066, who, by the way, wasn't English, FYI, she has been on the throne, 8%. If it's almost 1,000 years, it's not quite, we're 40 years shy of that. She's been on there 70 years. I mean, that's amazing. And I would argue that of the 41 now with Charles, 41 monarchs, the three greatest were women. You had Elizabeth I, who was 45 years on the throne, Victoria, 63 years, and now Elizabeth II at 70 years. We're going to talk more because I'm all about the money when we come back about what the British family and what the Queen's estate is worth and where that goes. Jane Wells, filling in for John and Ken, KFI. Jane Wells from CNBC and also Meta. I bow to many masters, Meta, which I still can't get used to calling it that, the parent company for Facebook. I write a bulletin for them called Wells Street, janewells.bulletin.com, and they pay me for it until Mark Zuckerberg changes his mind. And CNBC still sometimes pay me. And I'm in here today. That's one reason why I haven't been here in forever is because I'm busy. But aren't we all? Okay. We are still talking about Queen Elizabeth II and her passing today at the age of 96 after 70 years on the throne. Just an amazing legacy that she oversaw and an amazing fortune. By the way, Ray Lopez, producer Ray, you have checked. I know some of you are going to say it's too soon. I don't think it's too soon. She was 96.
Okay.
The
yeah.
Cool pool.
Let's preface this, okay?
Okay. Or how are you going to preface it?
Well, let's justify it. John and Ken's ghoul pool has been happening for, 20, 30 years, something like that.
It is really my favorite thing about that and hacking a dumpster. So, that's all I listen for.
So if you don't know what the ghoul pool is, every year at the beginning of the year, John and Ken have on the John and Ken Show website, on the KFI website, we ask listeners who are interested to pick three celebrities. Not KFI hosts. That's not going to happen. Okay, so
what about fill-ins? No, anyhow, go ahead. You pick three celebrities you think are going to die in the next year.
And Queen Elizabeth is a perennial pick. It's Queen Elizabeth has been a perennial pick for a long time, and so she finally died, and she lived a long life, right? So we're asking ourselves: is it too soon to look at how many people submitted Queen Elizabeth as one of their ghoul pool picks?
How many?
102.
102 out of how many people?
102 out of probably, 900 submissions,
wow.
900 entries, probably more. So here's the deal. 102 this year. I think there was 150 last year.
So the odds went down.
Yeah, because...
Oh, because Prince Philip died last... Well, no, he died during the year, so you wouldn't have known that.
And it's always, predicated on, we get a lot of, Ghislaine Maxwell. And 20
right.
years ago, we got a lot of O.J. Simpsons, okay? So it kind of just depends on who's in the
news
at the particular moment.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So this particular year and in the last few years... But then again, here's the deal, Jane. It's a pick that doesn't get a whole lot of points. Because she's 98, right?
No, 96.
96, yeah. I mean, if you picked James Gandolfini a few years ago, I mean, you made some points, right?
What, can you remember the craziest prediction that came true that, Carrie Fisher or... Carrie Fisher and Debbie Reynolds on the same list.
Yeah, I think that those were good picks. One that comes to mind was... I think Larry King was a perennial.
But he's
as well.
A perennial, of course.
Yeah, but what was a good one? I can't remember off the top of my head.
Wow, they were on it. Yeah,
yeah. But we did. Oh, the guy from Glee. Okay.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I forget his name.
Right.
The
yes,
young kid.
Yes, yes.
Somebody picked him, and that was a huge...
Somebody must have known something.
Who knows? Yeah, I mean, who knows how they... Maybe they knew that the guy was, you know...
had issues.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, that's a... Here, I'm trying to look up. Sorry, folks, I'm Googling as fast as I can.
But the guy from Glee was a big pick, and no one saw that one coming.
Finn Hudson, or Cory Monteith.
Right.
Cory Monteith.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Yeah, that was kind of obscure, but then again, at the time, Glee was a hot show.
Wow. Well... okay, it may be too soon, but we just did it. So thank you, Ray. So 102, I'm just kind of curious why she wasn't on everybody's list. I mean, when you hit, you know, when you're over 90, you know, that's kind of a, but you're right. You don't get big points for that. And we're all about winning. So thanks, Ray, on that. If you want to know now the line of succession, it surprises me a little bit. Okay, after King Charles, then there's Prince William, then his son, Prince George, then Princess Charlotte. So this is where a female sibling moves now into the line of succession. So she is third in line to the throne. It goes William, George, Charlotte, then her little brother, Louis. Then Prince Harry. He's fifth, which I was surprised. I thought he renounced all that. But no, he, according to the royal family, is still, he's fifth in line. Then his son, Archie. Then his daughter, Lilibet. Then Prince Andrew. Then his daughter, Beatrice of York and Sienna. And Eugenie, Sienna, who is Beatrice's daughter, then Eugenie, Andrew's daughter, then Eugenie's son, then Prince Edward, then his kids. Princess Anne, okay, is 16th in line, even though she's older than Andrew and Edward. And even though, you know, Charlotte and these other, the female children of her brothers are ahead of her, Prince Anne, she still kind of gets screwed. We have much more to discuss later about the royal family. We will keep you up to date on the very latest on what's going on. Flags at the White House are now lowered to half staff. Governor Newsom has released a statement, and I know you've all been on pins and needles about how heartbroken the governor and first partner, is that what she is? She's the first partner, are about, that's always, I thought, kind of an odd title, but are about the death of Queen Elizabeth II. We will look at her estate and what it's worth. But coming up, we're going to get the latest on this fire in Hemet and what's happening out there with the evacuations. I mean, it was half the size of San Francisco. How big is it now? Jane Wells filling in for John and Ken, KFI AM 640. It's Jane Wells filling in for John and Ken. At the top of the hour, we will have the latest on this Rick Caruso, Karen Bass story. Karen Bass is this free scholarship she got to get a degree at USC has gotten dragged into the Mark Ridley Thomas corruption case. Rick Caruso called a press conference, and apparently people who are RSVP'd got some kind of weird statement back, and Caruso's now claiming, according to what I'm seeing on ABC7, that his campaign got hacked, quote, most likely from the Bass campaign. So that's getting ugly. Trojan versus Trojan. We're going to talk about that a couple of times during today's show, because that is an important story here, even though we look across the pond to England and the UK, where they mourn the passing of Queen Elizabeth II. But the other big story, of course, is the fires, the heat, the fires. There are fire crews out in Riverside County still battling this Fairview fire. Blake Trolley is joining us with the latest on that. Hi, Blake. What can you tell us right now?
Yeah, Jane, the fire at this point has burned 19,377 acres, remains 5% surrounded. I'm working to get a household count, but 17,139 people are under evacuation. I'm told the fire is moving in two fronts today, to the east and to the south. The south front is moving towards the community of Sage. That's home to more than 3,000 people. Firefighters are working today to keep those flames back. I'm told the flames in some portions have reached the border of the community. For the most part, they're about a half mile away. Speaking of evacuations, they have been somewhat of a challenge. Quite a few people have not evacuated when they've been asked to. In fact, yesterday, firefighters had to stop fighting the fire at one point to help people get out that should have been gone in the first place. Going into the weekend, a rain event from a hurricane, nearby hurricane, is expected. And I'm told this could either be positive or negative. If rain actually hits the fire, of course, that's good news. But if this rain activity stays to the east, all it's going to do is create wind, which is bad news. So again, today firefighters have found some relief through some of the cloud coverage that's come in from that. I've been told that's allowed them to work a lot longer, which has been a challenge. You know, on Tuesday specifically, it was 109 degrees. Yesterday, temperatures didn't come down, you know, much from that. So today, the cloud coverage has allowed them to work longer, which is good, given that a lot of the work that firefighters are doing right now is handwork. The terrain this fire is burning in is real rocky, real bouldery. They can't get dozers in like they would in a lot of other fires. So a lot of this has been crews using hand tools to build these containment lines. So I'm told the cloud coverage today has allowed them to really leg out those shifts and, put some work in.
I may have missed this. Did you say what the containment is at this point?
Yeah, right now it is still at 5%. I think over the weekend, as I mentioned earlier, something to watch is going to be this rain event.
Right, right.
If the rain touches down, good news.
I'm always concerned about lightning when these weird kind of rainstorms move through and then it ends up being worse than good. Did I hear you right? Over 17,000 people under mandatory evacuation?
That was the last number that I was given.
Wow.
17,000 people are under evacuation. And I was told the other day that a big part of these evacuations, some of them are a little wide ranging because of this, because of the speed these fires are moving at these days, right? Firefighters at this point in time are saying that, fires are moving way faster right now with this dry vegetation than they've seen in the past. So they want to do a really good job of establishing wide ranging lines of people clearing out so that it doesn't become, too late.
It's always funny how it is here. It's not funny. It's always a bad year for fire. Either you have rains and then you've got all this new vegetation, or you have no rains and then you have all this dry vegetation. So we can't ever seem to win here. Now, when you talk about firefighters having to pause yesterday to help evacuate people, I want to get back to that in a minute. There were also, though, actual rescues, right? We know two people have died trying to flee this fire. But they had to also go in and rescue people who wanted to get out, right?
Yeah, and I'm trying to get more details about that. In fact, as soon as we wrap up here, I'm going to be speaking with the Riverside County Sheriff's Department. They're the ones that are really coordinating these evacuation efforts. The story yesterday of firefighters just dropping what they're doing, that came from CAL FIRE. But again, the Riverside County Sheriff's Department, they've been handling evacuations, and I'm set to speak with them soon. And I'm really curious to get an idea of what has happened. I've been told this is not an issue. This is not a local issue to the fires here. This is a statewide issue. But as firefighters say, they say back in the day, you had a lot more time to get out. The way these fires move now, they move a lot quicker. And I think that's really playing a role into people, maybe not adhering to these evacuation orders. And then, as you say, and as we've seen documented, there's been, rescues and, just a real tragedy. As you mentioned, those two people who were killed trying to flee Monday, they were both found in a car trying to get out of there.
We've seen that over, I don't know, I'm going back to the early 90s when we had huge fires here. And as we continue to build, look, my house is up against open space. I have a, 100-foot clearance. But every year I'm thinking like, am I being stupid? And gee, I still have insurance. That's a miracle. I read there was a tiger sanctuary with some cubs that they were trying to evacuate, which it's not like trying to evacuate horses. I'm throwing you a curveball. Do you know anything about that, Blake?
Yeah, I am. I'm trying to figure out more about the animals as well. But I can tell you this: when I went into the canyon on this was on Tuesday, so the fire had already burned through there. There were so many horses still in the area with active flames around Shard, area around, which had to have been just absolutely, terrifying for those horses. And as of right now, the Riverside County Animal Control is reminding people that they do have room. I guess there were some rumors that they didn't have room. They're saying that they do have room, which of course is good news, given how many animals I saw just when I went in there. So it sounds like it's been a real effort to go in and get those horses out. And as you mentioned, some tigers. Yeah, that would be pretty intense. I'm imagining.
How is it out there right now? You've been out there since Tuesday. There's more humidity now, which is good. I mean, how does it feel compared to, say, Tuesday or Wednesday?
Well, you know, actually today I am covering the fire remotely. I'm out in Los Angeles on another story, but I have been, you know, calling into the command post there to get information.
You know what? Good
As
for you, Blake. No, no, no.
To me,
Blake,
it's a lot cooler.
Blake Trolley, good for you for being an honest reporter, because people, first of all, don't realize that these KFI reporters are out covering five stories every day and you can't be everywhere at once. But you didn't pretend. You know, that's one of those things as a TV reporter, you get those, of course they can see where you are. You get those curveballs all the time.
Right.
Like, you know, well, what about this? And my go-to is usually like, that's an excellent question. We are waiting for a response, which of course a complete lie. I hadn't even thought about it. Or that's a great question. We're looking into it right now. Like I was with, hey, what about those tiger cubs? And you did a nice pivot too. I saw lots of horses. So good for you for being honest about where it is.
Well, yeah, thank you for complimenting the form. But the truth be told is I am actually trying to get all these answers right now. You know, one of the tough things you talk about covering this remotely is the fact that when you are, you know, on scene, all the PIOs are there in a situation like this, which is, for people who don't know, those are spokespeople. So it's a lot easier to get these answers really quickly and, you know, not be playing phone tag. So there's a couple answers I'm working to tie up. As soon as we hang up here, I'm going to be speaking with the Riverside County Sheriff's Department. I'm really interested in hearing about these evacuations because it sounds like it has been quite the issue on this fire.
I will just say, ask them, as someone who has covered the fires here for decades, and particularly the ones in the last few years where people out in the Calabasas down through Malibu area, many did stay with their homes because that's how they saved their homes. So it is this, you know, you only have X amount of firefighting resources. And so some people think, well, if I leave, I know I'm going to lose my home. And then they make that calculated decision, is my life worth my house? But, you know, do they have the resources to protect every home? Now, maybe out there, Sage, a town of 3,000, they do. When you're going through Agoura, Calabasas, down to Malibu, not so much. So, Blake, I will let you go do your thing. Thank you for talking. I appreciate it.
You got it, Jane.
All right, take care. That's Blake Trolley, KFI. He's going to try and get some more answers about these evacuations, if people need to be evacuated, how many are ignoring the evacuations. But I, you know, it kind of depends on who you are. I'm like, it's just a house, you know, it's just a house. Some people, this is my house. I've worked my whole life for this. I think I can do it. I've got a garden hose. If I don't do it, no one will. And I think, you know, yes, if you put firefighters in danger to save you because you insist on saving your house, that's bad. You don't want to put them in danger. You'd want to, like, no, let me be. You do you. I'll do me. But they have an obligation to try and get you out of there. So, you know, I'm not going to be like, oh, you idiot, why aren't you getting out there? You're putting firefighters at risk. Because I understand why you're doing it, but it's not my thing. Okay, when we come back, I am going to talk about Queen Elizabeth II's estate, what it's worth, what the royal family is worth, what's involved in that, how much goes to Charles if he has to pay inheritance taxes, because I am all about the money. Jane Wells from CNBC filling in for John and Ken, KFI AM 640. Jane Wells filling in for John and Ken, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. It's funny, I interviewed Tim Conway Jr. for a story that airs on CNBC this evening on the News with Shepard Smith. It was all about, like, are we losing the snowpack? And so since he lives in Burbank and he is part of this, you know, as many people in Burbank and other cities can't water their lawns or their yards for the next 2 weeks during the hottest time of the year, I went over and interviewed him, and he paints his lawn. He paints his lawn green. And if you were driving by, you would think that guy's cheating on water. But if you look at it up close, or if you walk on it, it's like it's walking on green, dead grass. So he will be on the News with Shepard Smith on CNBC this evening in a story from me. And he was very funny. I probably cut out his best jokes. He probably won't like the way it turned out, but that's the way it is. At the top of the hour, we are going to discuss this Karen Bass USC scholarship story that's in the LA Times and everywhere as it's starting to become part of the corruption investigation into Mark Ridley Thomas. USC, my alma mater. She's running against Rick Caruso, another USC alum. He held a news conference today. Apparently, there may have been some hacking going on in his account. That's at the top of the hour. But as we continue to talk about Queen Elizabeth II, who has now passed, King Charles III has assumed the throne. But it's hard to just remember She was so young when she had her coronation, which, of course, was several months after she actually became queen, because it took a while for her to learn everything, and it took a while for it was just sort of unexpected. Here's a little bit of the speech she gave in June 1953 after her coronation ceremony.
I have in sincerity pledged myself to your service, as so many of you are pledged to mine. Throughout all my life, and with all my heart, I shall strive to be worthy of your trust.
I mean, here's a woman in her mid-20s taking command of an empire, though she really, even then, the empire was collapsing and the power of the crown was greatly diminished and becoming more and more ceremonial. And yet nobody, no family in the history of the world has created an aura and power like the Windsors have. I mean, you know, if King Juan Carlos in Spain, or whoever's the king there now, I think his son assumed and then he came back. If he dies, I'll be like, oh, whatever. Or I don't know, Norway, Sweden, you know, okay, whatever. No, the British royal family is a money-making machine for that country. And just the way she has been able to master over 70 years, despite some missteps, especially after Diana died and she was perceived as being cold and unfeeling, something she turned around and fixed pretty quickly, she has been the queen of knowing how far back to pull back the curtain and to maintain that line between the mystery of the royal family and then, you know, I'm going to be in a James Bond bit for the Olympics. I mean, it was just, she really knew most of the time where to draw that line. Now, according to Fortune, the royal family, as they call them, the so-called firm, is worth $28 billion, actually less than I expected. You know, I mean, Elon Musk alone, and we'll talk about him later. Well, when Tesla was doing better before this whole Twitter fiasco and the tech implosion, you know, he was over $300 billion. They were less than 10% of that. So the royal firm is worth $28 billion. The Queen's personal assets are valued at $500 million. So $500 million. So she personally, not a billionaire, one of the richest women in the world, but not a billionaire. According to Fortune, as they talk about how she gets paid, the family is paid, or how she was paid, through a taxpayer-supported fund known as the Sovereign Grant, which goes all the way back to King George III, the Mad King, the guy who was king when we broke away from him in 1776. And basically, the royal family is paid by income from Parliament, a fixed annual payment, and replacing whatever, you know, taxes he could directly enact. It is set over the last couple of years to about $100 million a year. Now, that $100 million alone equals what Prince Harry allegedly is receiving from Netflix. So Prince Harry, by breaking off from the royal family, is probably a lot wealthier now than if he stayed a part of this huge group that is part of the firm. Now, the monarchy and that $28 billion is mostly in real estate assets, according to Forbes, including Buckingham Palace. Anybody want? Anybody? Mark, how much do you think Buckingham Palace is worth?
Oh, that's a rough one.
I know, because you couldn't, but it has a value.
Considering the fact that a garage in the L.A. area is like $500,000 bucks,
right.
Let's just ballpark a couple billion.
$4.9 billion.
Wow.
Yes. And the Crown Estate of Scotland, which I assume includes Balmoral, is $592 million. You lived in Scotland, didn't you?
I did for a year. Pardon me while I finish chewing. Vamp for 30 seconds.
Okay, I'll vamp. So she, all this, you know, she's got her personal assets, include her investments, art, jewelry, real estate, which includes Balmoral. She also inherited $70 million from her mother of paintings, stamps. Now, Charles doesn't all automatically get this. It's just what she specifically designated to him, and I'm not sure what King Charles gets. But get this. He does not have to pay inheritance taxes. Can you imagine the inheritance tax on Balmoral? No, there's a 40% inheritance tax, so on $500 million, you know, you're talking $200 million in taxes in inheriting all that. And he's not going to have to pay that.
Don't think you could scrape by on what's left?
Look, they're always going to be fine, although I can imagine the upkeep at Buckingham is nuts. It's like a drafty old place. I wouldn't want to have to live there. I don't think Kate Middleton wants to live there. Okay, have you finished chewing?
I'm good. Good to go.
Okay. What was it like? I mean, you know, what are your thoughts?
Scotland's beautiful, but they don't have as kindly a regard for the Queen as probably a lot of people in England did. And, you know, just there are both sides of the story on a day like today. There are a lot of people who weren't crazy about her. And there are some really funny clips that you'll see if you're on Twitter, people being approached in the street. I saw a clip of one younger English woman, English, not Scottish, saying, you know, honestly, I wasn't a fan. So they're even trying to be nice about it when they weren't crazy about having a queen to begin with. But they've always been torn on that island, especially up north in Scotland.
Yes, yes. How long did you live there?
I lived there for a full year.
Where?
It's beautiful, beautiful place. I lived in Stirling, which is around where the big fight of Stirling Bridge happened in the Braveheart movie. It's about an hour north if you've got the point of a triangle between Glasgow on the left and Edinburgh on the right, mm-hmm. I think. It's been a while.
Freedom!
It's been a while. Anyway, it's a beautiful, beautiful place, and I can't wait to go back as soon as I have some vacation time.
Yeah, I visited a few years ago, drank a lot of whiskey without
an
E.
There you go.
And though it's very hard for me to understand what the heck those people are saying.
It takes you a while. I don't think a lot of people understand that. So I was there for a full year, and it took me half of that year to be able to understand, say, cab drivers. You know, people who weren't used to coming into contact with Americans all the time, you really have to listen closely to some of the people who aren't so exposed to Americans. And the further north you get, the harder it gets.
Yeah, it's between them and sometimes the Irish, too. I mean, we're easy to imitate because we draw our words out.
It's so funny to hear them mock us, too.
Yeah, they do this. Da, 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 yeah. Da.
Yep. Hey, guys, how are you doing? Yeah, it's we sound so stupid filtered through them.
Well, we will argue that another day. Okay, we are going to have the latest on this Rick Caruso press conference over the Karen Bass USC scholarship, although she is not under any sort of criminal investigation. She is getting dragged into a criminal investigation. That's after the break. Jane Wells filling in for John and Ken, KFI AM 640.
Hey, Ken, did you know that gold is the only currency that's held its value since the dawn of money?
Well, I did. Thanks to our friends at Legacy Precious Metals, the most trusted name in gold investing.
Investing in gold protects you against inflation and gives you a hedge against stock market volatility.
Don't leave your retirement to chance. Call Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or download your free investor's guide now at buylegacygold.com. That's buylegacygold.com.
When it comes to a thriving career, everyone could use a little support, especially when it comes to transitions. At LHH, we're committed to personalized support, insights, and resources that lead to more job opportunities. No matter what role a professional has in your organization, our services offer an experience that fits each individual. And for organizations, LHH provides consultative support and guidance through the entire outplacement or career transition process. It's outplacement reimagined. Visit LHHtalent.com today.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Live Nation presents Concert Week.
Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bizzle Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.